How about now? So in addition to the poor production quality of Broad Street Ministries worship, there's also something called the Bulletin Gremlin. And the Bulletin Gremlin has sort of been in hibernation for a few months. We cut down a page out of the bulletin. It used to be like 25 pages long. We shortened it to 4. And this week we left Sammy Evans in charge of the bulletin. And as you can see, she is an earth murderer with our 6-page bulletin this week. With those. So what I want you to do is, if you get bored during the sermon, draw pictures, take notes, and Sammy will take your art at the end of the worship service. And we'll use it, we'll pretend like this is something that we plan to do. That is not because Broad Street hates the earth as much as that is what it seems. Thank you, John, and Amen Corner. I appreciated that a great deal. Let's pray together. Eternal God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, and Leah, Tina, Devin, Jojo, speak to us now in the modern time, in this our metropolis. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, those of you who are more liturgically inclined will know that today is Christ the King Sunday, or if you prefer gender-neutral liturgical holidays, the Reign of Christ Sunday. This is the last Sunday of the liturgical year. We are starting a new year in the church's liturgy next week with the first Sunday of Advent. And Anders will be telling you more about Advent later today, or later in the service, but I wanted to sort of ping you once before he tells you that next week we're going to start our worship, our small groups at 3 p.m. in advance of worship at 4 p.m. Rather than have small groups after worship, they're going to be before worship at 3. So he'll tell you that again, but I want to get you in there twice with that info. So next week starts Advent. That is the beginning of the liturgical year. And what we do is we end the year with this Sunday, Christ the King, or Reign of Christ Sunday. It is the Sunday where, in the liturgical tradition, we enshrine the notion that in all things, Christ reigns. The way our text for today puts it, Christ is the one who is and who was and who is to come. Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. The book of Revelation elsewhere tells us that Christ will usher in a new heaven and a new earth, the end of the current era, the birth of a new one. World events feel very earth-shaking lately. It feels like there's an end of an era or the beginning of an era. There is something going on. There is something in the air that we are at the end of something or other or the beginning of something else. And it is also the case that Bill announced his departure from this place last Sunday. And so I thought now is a good time to be thinking about eras. When do they end? And when do they begin? And so much of the sermon is dedicated to describing some events throughout history that we have been told or that I have read or someone has told me are era-ending or era-beginning events. That these are events that have shaken the earth to its foundations and have made us all hold on for dear life or wonder, where is God in all of this or what is going on? This is an event that is truly the end of an era. So I think the first date that you all have in your brain is 587 BC. Surely that, as we all know, was the end of an era. Thank you, Kara. Kara's nodding. She remembers 587. That, of course, as we all know, was the year that the Babylonians invaded the northern kingdom of Israel. They destroyed Solomon's temple. They deported all of the leaders of the Israelites into Babylonian captivity. That brought about the end of the Jewish presence in the Promised Land, and it began the Jewish diaspora. 587 BC was the end of an era, period, full stop. That's the end of the story. Until, of course, 539 BC, when Cyrus the Persian conquered Babylon and told the Israelites that they could return home again. But truly, 70 AD was the end of the era. That was the year that the Romans destroyed the second temple. That was the temple that they built after they returned from captivity in Babylon. They built themselves a new temple, and then the Jewish people and the Roman people went to war with each other, and the Romans sacked Jerusalem and destroyed the second temple. That was the end of the era. It was the beginning of a new era of persecution against religious minorities in the province of Palestine. But then we know that 313 AD, that changed everything. That was the end of the era. That was when the Roman Emperor Constantine converted to Christianity, issued the Edict of Milan, and brought about the end of the persecution of religious minorities, especially those followers of Jesus Christ. Or maybe it really ended in 476, when Odoacer, one of my all-time favorite world leaders, Odoacer, conquered the Emperor Romulus and became the first king of Italy, and brought about the end of the Roman Empire altogether. That was probably the end of the era. Except for the fact that that began a new era of the Dark Ages in Europe, where there was all of this, there was stagnation economically and intellectually, and so thank God for the Umayyads and the Abbasids, the Islamic civilization centered in Baghdad, that in the year 1258, the Mongol hordes sacked Baghdad and burned to the ground these wonderful libraries and temples of wisdom, where thank God the Islamic civilizations kept alive philosophy and architecture and geometry and medicine and astronomy, until the end of the era 1258, when the Mongols torched them. And then, of course, 1492, really, that's the year, right? That's the year it really went down. 1492, that was the end of the era. That was the end of the era of European closed-mindedness, when we were able to sort of figure out that there was a world out there beyond the end of the horizon. That was the end of our intellectual stagnation, when we discovered new worlds. Or another way to look at it is that was the end of an era of a perfectly fine civilization that already existed before my people discovered it. It was the end of coexistence. It was the end of subsistence. It was the beginning of a new way to live one's life, being well capitalized, introducing foreign diseases, ushering in a new era where we trade everything for profit, from salt to fish to pork to sugar to rum to coffee to silk, and let's not forget about those enslaved Africans. But really, 1776 was the end of an era. 1776 was when finally a colony decided that it wanted to do business, it wanted to behave economically with another organization besides its sending country. And so we declared that we want to do business with all the rest of the world, and so we declare to you today that we are done with our relationship with you, Britain. End of an era. We want to do business with whomever we please. And so that was the end of an era. But as we know, it wouldn't be long before those colonies, those United States, decided that they would find something of their own to wage war about. It was a combination of economics, states' rights, holding enslaved Africans that led to the end of that era of coexistence and compromise and ushered in a new age of war. But January 1st, 1863, the end of an era. That once and for all, slavery would be abolished by Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, that never again would we as a society support the subjugation of a people based entirely on their race. January 1st, 1863, it ended for good. Except for the fact that the memo did not make its way down to the Deep South, and so what it took really was June 19th, 1865, when General Granger sailed into Galveston Harbor and enforced that executive order more than 2.5 years after it was issued. That, friends, that was the end of the era. That was the end of the subjugation of an entire race. Not really, right? That, of course, we as a society still managed to do that. We still found a way to subjugate those descendants of those enslaved Africans. But that era truly, really, truly did come to an end with Brown versus the Board of Education. that separate facilities were inherently unequal. Or maybe really it was July 2nd, 1964 with the Civil Rights Act. That, at long last, was the end of racial discrimination. 1994 in South Africa, the end of apartheid, that was the end. Or maybe it was a few months ago when some angry white guy who didn't know what era he lived in burst into a Bible study at the Mother Emanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, and killed 9 of the saints who were reading scripture. And then we ended the era of racial subjugation once and for all by taking down the battle flag of the Army of Northern Virginia from over the State House in Columbia, South Carolina. Surely that's the end of the era, right? Maybe the end of the era came in 1920 with the passage of the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution guaranteeing women the right to vote. Or maybe that era is still to come because women are still paid 80 cents on the dollar almost 100 years later. For some of you, I have learned that the death of Biggie was the end of an era. And for others of you, it was really the death of Tupac. Maybe it was the discovery of the polio vaccine. Or maybe it was the Battle of Hastings in 1066. David, I'm looking at you. The Battle of Hastings. Maybe it was Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941, which was the end of an era of American peacetime. But that marked the beginning of an era of American reaction based entirely in fear that saw Japanese locked up in internment camps through the duration of that war. But that era came to an end in August of 1945 with the detonation of nuclear weapons over Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That began the nuclear age, and it began an age of reflection where we said to ourselves, we have just wreaked so much havoc and destruction. We must never do something like that again. Surely that was the beginning and end of that era all in one 3-day span. Truly, this was the beginning of peace. That truly we would never apocalyptically destroy one another like this again. Many of us remember September 11th, 2001, that day that allegedly ushered in a whole new era. That day that was allegedly the end of something, I don't know what, but ushered in an all too familiar era when again we react out of fear, where we return evil for evil. Bombs are met with bombs. Another age of apocalyptic destruction. And then we are left to wonder, does the rise of Islam of the Islamic State culminating in the attacks in Paris, where despite our best efforts, we do exactly what we have done over and over again. We are reacting out of fear. We return evil for evil, and we decide that the best thing for us to do is to close ourselves up to the world. For whatever else it did, the attacks in Paris have brought about the end of an era in Congress, where the polarization between Republicans and Democrats has finally ended, where Republicans and Democrats in Congress have united with governors around the country and with one another so that they could pass legislation. What a concept that Congress would pass legislation. Of course, this legislation that we know bars refugees from Syria and Iraq from entering this country. It is the end of an era of inertia. Thanks be to God. We all have our own personal eras as well. You probably didn't know this, but December 7th, 1998 was the end of an era. Somewhere in the Philadelphia area, I don't know where, and I don't know who, but somebody died. Someone's family member, someone's loved one, they died. I don't know who they were. I don't know how. But I know that they died because that night was the end of an era in my family, the end of an era of waiting for my dad's liver donor. It was the end of our era of wondering if there would ever be a donor. November 9th, 2015, there was a baby born in Arkansas. And the era of waiting for my sister-in-law and brother-in-law to adopt a baby was over. 5 business days later, November 16th, that was the end of the era of the birth parent's ability to say, we would actually like this baby. November 17th, 2015, the court date that made the adoption official. And at this address, January 7th, 2001, that was the end of an era when the last worship service of the Chambers Wiley Memorial Presbyterian Church occurred in this very space. And that was the last day that anybody could possibly imagine that there would ever be a worship service at 315 South Broad Street again. And yet here we are, long past the end of an era. Some of you may have been here on May 15th, 2005, the end of an era of vacancy in this space, when Broad Street Ministry gathered for worship for the first time under the leadership of Bill Goldorer, who announced last week the end of an era with his intention to resign and run for the United States Congress. What era is it where you are? I guess the thing I really want you to know on Christ the King Sunday is that we don't really decide when eras begin and end. We are inclined to pronounce that we understand the way the world works, that we can pronounce that such and such event ushers in the end of this era or the beginning of that era. We are so inclined to assume that we have been able to check something off our list, that we have accomplished something, that we have started something new. We want to believe so badly that we understand what's going on in the world around us. We want to believe that we can usher in a new age or put an end to an age. But the good news on Christ the King Sunday is that we are not the deciders of when the era begins or ends. If we were the deciders, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ would be the end of the story. That would be the end of the era. But what we have in the person and work of Jesus Christ and in the continued work of the living God in the world is that just when we think we have it buttoned up, God is going to do something new. That we thought that Good Friday and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was going to be the end of the era. We thought and acted like sin and death had won the day. And we are inclined sometimes to think that that is still true. That surely the rise of ISIS and the attacks in Paris means that sin and death have won the day, surely. That surely the departure of a charismatic leader means the end of Broad Street Ministry. Surely there will never be a baby for me. Surely there will never be a liver donor for me. Surely there will never be a treatment for my cancer. Surely there will never be an end to racial discrimination in this country. Surely there will never be an end to mass incarceration. Surely there will never be room in this country for people from those places. Surely sin and death have won the day. But the promise of Christ the King Sunday is that sin and death have not won. They have not won the day. The fear is real. The pain is real. The uncertainty is real. The anxiety is real. All of that is real. But the work of God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and Christ's present reign over the world means that God decides when the era is done. We do not have to worry about crazy proclamations about the end of an era, like Ronda Rousey got knocked out, end of an era. Ohio State lost to Michigan State, end of an era. Bill Goldorer is leaving Broad Street Ministry, end of an era. Awful, hateful bills about refugees in Congress, end of an era. Get out of here with that. Uncertainty in our lives does not mean the end of an era. Our job, the only thing that we need to worry about is loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving our neighbors as ourselves, and caring for the widow, the orphan, and the stranger. In short, serve the one who's in charge of it all. Serve the one who decides when the eras begin and when the eras end. I would be lying if I told you that I knew exactly what we need to do about what's going on in the world around us. I don't really know. But I know that whatever we do starts with a firmly held belief. It starts with believing it to be true, that eras end, or at least we think they do, but the reign of Christ never does. That eras may end, but the reign of Christ never does. Thanks be to God. Amen.